Okay.
How did he get in there?
Tara, both sides, let's see. We were. Okay.
That's a better idea. Will it fit through the door?
It needs to be folded up.
So let's just review the fact that according to Rav Yochanan here on Daf Kuvav Amud Beis, a Toein Tainas Ganav B'Pikadon has the full din of a Ganav, which means that not only does he pay Kefel, but if he slaughters the animal that he took as a Pikadon originally, then he pays Dal Vehe. And the Gemara quotes a dialogue between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan, in which Rabbi Chiya quoted a brisa, and the brisa spoke about the case of Toein Tainas Ganav B'Pikadon and established that he pays kefel. Now, what was the case? After the Ganov, meaning the Shomer in this case, took a Shmur Sheker, the fact that he doesn't have the Pikadon, then the Edom came in and testified against him that he ate the Pikadon. Now, when it says that Ochlo, and that's the language of the Rice, so we assume that it means he shechted the animal first, and then he ate the animal, he ate the meat of the animal. And if that be the case, why does the Brisa limit his penalty to kefel? If he shechted the animal, he should be paying dalet vehe. And yet the Mishnah, mentions kefel and only kefel. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan answers, in self-defense, that the Brisa is not talking about a case where he shechted the animal. The Edom testified that he ate the animal, but he ate non-kosher nevela meat, and he never shechted it. And at this point, the Gemara is going to raise a number of possibilities which seem to be better alternatives, which be better ways that the Brice could have expressed the fact that he doesn't pay Dalet Vehe. Meaning, if the Brice wants to tell me that he pays Kefel, and only Kefel, why did the Brisa choose a case where he ate it nevela? I mean, that's not a chiddush. If he ate it nevela, then he didn't shecht the animal. If he didn't shecht the animal dropped dead without shechita, then for sure he's not going to pay dalet vehe. What was the hava mina? Meaning there should be some chiddush in this Brisa that I was unaware of, some hava mina that I would have thought that the ganav should pay, the ganav, again, we're talking about a towing time, should be paying dalet vehe as a result of the shechita. But now you're telling me there was no shechita. If there was no shechita, what's the hava mina that he should be paying dalet vehe? On the other hand, if there was a shechita, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, he should be paying dalet vehe. So what we're looking for, if you follow this very narrow, slim cut in the middle, is we're looking for a case where the ganav shechted the animal, but nevertheless, he's not chayav dalet vehe. And if we can come up with a case of that sort, then we have a real problem with Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan is telling me that, well, the case of the Brisa is where he didn't shech the animal. Why would the Brisa tell me such a thing? That's the question. Okay, so now again, just everybody put on their thinking caps, and we're going to take a plunge and try to figure out what could be a case, a hechatimtza, in which the ganav shechted the animal, but nevertheless, he's not chayv dalveh. And that's the chiddush of the Brisa, that he's not chayv dalveh, even though he shechted the animal. And we're holding that as a general rule, a toin tanis ganav is chayv for dalveh. Okay, that's what we're setting as our goal for today. So the Gemara says, Velishni. Now again, I just hope everybody has their finger on the place. We're on Daf Kufvav Amid Beis. I would say we're approximately half halfway down the page. If you're looking at the wide lines, it's line number 6 that starts the word Sha'achlo, and it says a Velishne Le. Kigon Sha'achal Trefa. Why couldn't we be talking about a case, and this would give the price a big chiddush, that Enechinami, this kind of shechted the animal? But it turns out that after they made an internal check on the organs, they found it to be a trefa. And if they found it to be a trefa, then we have the shita of Rabbi Shimon in Masechta Chulin on Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph. And Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that shchita she'ena re'uya lav shmei shchita. That according to Rabbi Shimon, if the shochet after slaughtering the animal discovers that the animal is a trefa, he has to realize that al pidin, according to the halachic definition of shchita, he was not involved in shchita. Just to use the saber ta'ozen, maybe he wouldn't be able to charge the owner for shchita because it's not a shchita. But my point is that if we introduce the shita of Rav Shimon, we have a perfect answer to our case. When would the ganav have shechted the animal, and yet he's not chayav dal vehe? And that's a case where the Torah doesn't recognize the shchita. What would be a case where the Torah doesn't recognize the shchita as a valid shchita? That's Rav Shimon's halacha of shchita sheina ruya lav shmei shchita. And this would mean that the Brisa, instead of quoting a case in the Vela where the animal died without shchita, and for sure he wouldn't be paying dalet vehe, I don't need the Brisa for that if there was no shchita, the Brisa wants to tell me a chiddush that he did shech the animal, and yet he's not chayev dalet vehe. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is he not chayev dalet vehe if he shechted the animal? The answer is because this Brisa would be predicated on the shita of Rav Shimon, that shchita shen aruya lav shchita, therefore the ganav, when he shechted the animal, found out it was a trefa, did not implement a shchita, which the Torah recognizes as a valid shchita, therefore he's not chayev dalet vehe. Yeah, but the only problem is, who said that this brisa holds like Rav Shimon? We have, you know, you're bothered by the brisa because you're assuming Rav Shimon. You're asking a kasha because of Rav Shimon. Well, Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rav Shimon. And that's exactly what the Gemara answers. Ki Rabbi Meir, that this brisa represents Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan accepted Rabbi Meir. The Amar is of the opinion against Rabbi Shimon that shchita shein aruya shmei shchita. That if a person slaughters an animal, he finds it to be a trefa, that shchita is a valid shchita. And now we can mention a number of nafkaminas. According to Rabbi Meir, if it's a valid shchita, let's say he was consigned in a business agreement to shech the animal, and now he comes with his contract and he says, well, I slaughtered the animal, I want to get paid for my shchita. The bailim have no right to say, well, it was a trefa, and therefore your shchita is meaningless. No. According to contract law, this is a shchita because the Torah, in fact, recognizes that as a valid shchita. Number two, the shchita is a valid shchita. Is metayer es hanavela midei tumas nevela, means the bosser is not metame. Number three, if he was a ganav who shechted the animal, and then lo and behold, it turns out to be a trefa, nevertheless, he would be paying dalet vehe according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the reason for that is because shchita she'ena re'uya Shmei Shchita, and has a valid definition, and it's called Shchita. By the way, if we would ever to have an opportunity, I'm not taking a vow, but if we'd ever learn Masechta Shabbos, especially Perek Klal Gadol, we would find out that it's very interesting that Shchita, as opposed to killing an animal, has its own rules as far as incurring a Chiyuv Skila on from Malecha Shabbos. You know, one of the 39 Malachas is Netilas Neshama, but there are various differences between just Stam killing the animal, taking its Neshama, and Shchita. And let's say he shechted it and he found it to be an Avela, would that Shchita be considered a Shchita? And would he be Chayav for those unique cases where you Chayav as a Shochet on Shabbos but not as a No-Til Neshama? And the answer would be, according to Rabbi Meir, yes, he would be chayv, even though, despite the fact that the animal is a trefa. This might also have implications in terms of what's called avodah zarah. If a person slaughters an animal for the sake of avodah zarah, then the animal becomes cheren, it becomes osur bano b'toras avodah zarah, and the shochet becomes a mumar l'avodah zarah, whose status is that of a mumar l'kol tor kula. What happens if he shechted the animal and lo and behold he found it to be a treifa? Another nafkamina could be if, let's say, there was an ubar inside the mother's body, would that shechita be mati the ubar, since the ubar is not a treifa, even though the mother of this ubar is a treifa? And that again would depend upon remes. So there are many, many nafkaminas to defining this shechita in the case of treifa as whether it's a valid shechita or not. Our braisa that we're studying today maintains the shechita of Rabbi Meir, and therefore it had to avoid a shechita, because had it been a shechita with a treifa, it would in fact incur a chiyuv dal vehei, because shechita shein aruya shmei shechita. So that endeavor failed, that experiment failed because of Rabbi Meir, and now the Gemara is going to embark on another experiment. And this goes into the laws that I mentioned before of Ben Pkua Velishne Le. Why couldn't a Brisa tell me a big chiddush of the case of a Ben Pkua? An animal was shechted, and lo and behold, inside the mother's stomach they find an ubar. That's called ubar b'mei imo. That ubar doesn't need shechita. What do I mean it doesn't need shechita? That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And basically, in the Sugyan Chulin Daf Ayin Dal, there are three different shitas. One shita says that when you open up the animal after shechita, you find an uber, that uber does not need shechita. That's Rabbi Shimon. Then there's the shita on the other extreme of Rabbi Meir, that the shechita, the mother, doesn't have anything to do with the vlad whatsoever, and therefore the vlad, the uber, needs shechita. And then in the middle, there's the compromise shita, the chachamim, they hold that an ubar does not need shechita, but midrabanan, it needs shechita. Because if you kill the ubar, the ben pku as we call it, without shechting it, the onlooker might suspect you of being over the iser of achilas nevel. So if the chachamim required lechatchila that you shech the animal. At this point, the ben pku, at this point, the Gemara thinks that if this braisa were to be authored by Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon holds the ben pkua einot tzricha shchita, that means shchita sa'em mahani labas, therefore, in such a case, the braisa would be telling me a gevaldige chiddush, that even though this ganav slaughtered the animal turns out to be a ben pkua, and it didn't require shchita, the shchita is not a valid shchita as far as the Torah's recognition of the shchita, and therefore he's not chayav dal vehei. But once again, we could raise the same objection. Who says that you should ask a kasha on this brisa based on Reb Shimon? And the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbi Meir, that this brisa, and Rabbi Yochanan accepts the shita, reflects Rabbi Meir. The Omar, he's of the opinion, Ben Pkua, Toun, Shchita. The Gemara in Chulin derives the shita Rabbi Meir, that even though the shchita of the mother was meaningful for the mother, but Ubar Lav, Yerech Imo, we see the Ubar as a separate independent entity, and therefore when it's born it's a Ben Pkua that requires Shechita. If the Ganav in fact shechted this Ben Pkua that he stole, or in the case of Toin Tanis Ganav Pikadon, shechted it, he would incur according to Rabbi Meir a Chiyuv Dal Vehei. Now I don't believe that there's any connection here between the previous machlokas of Reb Shimon and Reb Meir and this machlokas of Reb Shimon and Meir, other than the coincidence of names. Because the first machlokas touches on the fact that there was a maisa shkita without a heter achilas basar. Does that maisa shkita constitute and qualify as a shkita or not? The second machlokas addresses a whole different question, and that is whether or not the shechita of the mother includes the entire body therein, including the ben pkua, because the uber is considered yerech imo, or the uber is lave yerech imo. So I don't think it would be fair, again, I don't know of anybody who says to the contrary, but if they do, I'd like to understand why they would, to make an interdependence between these two contraries. So once again, our second experiment has failed, because of Rav Meir's Shita, we have not been able to come up with a case where the Ganav slaughtered the animal and yet he is potter from Dalet Vehei. Till we get to the third experiment, and this one is going to be a more successful experiment. The Lishnei Lei Kigon She'omad Bidin. Okay. Now let's just think about Omad Bidin for a second. The Nignav, meaning the Bailin, the Mafkin, sues the Shomer as a ganav, that he stole his cow. He doesn't want to return, he refuses to return his cow. And then, after the Shomer took the Shvua, two Edom came in and testified that in fact he did steal the cow. Now, there are two stages in what's called Gmar Din. There's an earlier stage and a later stage. Okay, the earliest stage is what's called Chayav Ata Liten Lo. And that's sort of a theoretical verdict that was handed down by the Dayanim of the Beis Din, in which they said, based on the evidence that we have at this point, Chayav Ata Liten Lo. That's not called Gmar Din, because in the interim, other Edom might come in, Beis Din hasn't closed the case yet, that's called Chayav Ata Liten Lo. Meaning, if all things are equal, and in the absence of any further evidence for this case, we will come to the final Gmar Din. The final Gmar Din is not Chayav Ata Liten Lo, but say Vitein Lo. Go out and pay him up. In other words, your Chayav, let's say in this case, of a Ganav who shechted the animal, you'd be Chayav Dal Vehei, say Vitein Lo. Okay, wait, just give me 1 minute. I'm sorry, Michael, I don't have it yet. As soon as I get it, the floor is yours, but I don't have it yet, okay? So again, there's something called Chayav Ata Liten Lo and something called Tzei V'tein Lo. Okay, now, let's just figure out what this has to do with our sugya. V'lishnei Lei, why couldn't we interpret the Braisa? Kigon Sha'amad Bidin, let's say the Beis Din, after the Tohen Tanis Ganav and the Edom came to testify that he in fact stole it, Beis Din completed the process of Din, and they issued a final verdict. What's the final verdict again? Let's just, you know, we have to let it drum into our brains. Tzei V'tein Lo. V'omer Lo, Tzei V'tein Lo. Okay. Now, at this point, when the Gemara Din is clinched, something in the halachic universe of great significance happens. A total transformation. Again, you won't see it with your naked eye, but Al Pi Din is a transformation. Up until this point, before Gemara Din, what we're talking about is a Chiyuv Knas. What do I mean by Chiyuv Knas? You have a Chefta of Gzela, of Gneva in this case. I shouldn't say Gzela because it's Gneva, but anyway, it's Gneva. As long as it's a Chefta of Gneva, the Torah says that you can, meaning the Ganav can, upgrade, so to speak, intensify his Chiyuve Gneva. By doing what? What will be the next level?
Sure.
By shechting the animal, or selling and shechting the animal. Since the Chefta is still, the Mammon here, is still considered, it's still defined as what? As Gneva. Therefore, it lends itself to Dalet Vehei, if he shechts it. So what happened was, we had all the elements and in the sequence, we finally got to the case of Tzevet, to the moment of Tzevet Tainlo. Now it's no longer Gneva. Gneva is already history. From now on, what we have is Chiyuv Mammon. Chiyuv Mammon means that whatever we decided that you have to pay him, that's what you have to pay him. Which I say, it's like a halva, you know, it's like a loan, you know. If a man borrows money, he has to pay. And Beis Din is now taking the Gneva and transforming it from Gneva into a Chiyuv Mamon. And what's the moment of transition? That's the final Gemar Din. What clinches the final Gemar Din? That's called Seva Teinlo. The Amar Rava, and Rava made a statement, Seva Teinlo, if after Bezdin completed the Gemar Din, and then Tovach Umachar, but again, this is Tovach Umachar, it's as if Reuven went into Shimon's herd and he shechted an animal. Okay, so he has to pay for damages. But it has nothing to do with Geneva. It's a brand new story. We used to play as kids Etch a Sketch. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? That game, you know, where you shake it up and the masach. How do you say the screen? The screen goes back to blank. You know, and now we have a blank screen. We have a chiyuv that he has to pay him. The old story of Geneva is completely irrelevant, and therefore says Rava Tavachu Machar. Potter, what does it mean, Potter? I mean, he has to pay him whatever Bezdin decided he had to pay him when they said save a tailor, but no incurrence of any additional penalties of Dalet Vehei for the Shechita. My timer, and Rava says, I'll explain to you what I have in mind. What's the logic for this? Is came under Paske Lemilse. Paske Lemilse means it's a complete, total Gemar Din, the verdict has been set in stone. And from now on, it's no longer Gneva, but it's what? It's a Chiyuv Mamon. Therefore, Vim Tovachu Machar, Havi Gazlan. He says, if Reuven goes into Shimon's herd and he shechts Shimon's animal, that you can call him a Gazlan. Again, you might call him a Mazik, you might call him a Gazlan, but whatever you call him, there's no Knas. Gazlan lo mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha.
Kefil
he has to pay by virtue of
the original
Gneva, but he didn't shecht it while it was in a state of Gneva. When did he shecht it? When it was transformed from a state of Gneva into what? Into a Chiyuv Mamon. On a Chiyuv Mamon, there's no such thing as Chiyuv Gneva. Chiyuv Gneva of Dalet Vehei, for example, have nothing to do with the Chiyuv Mamon. So the Chiyuv Kefel was established while it was in the state of Gneva. But once Bezdin was Paske Lemilse through Tseva Teinlo, now it gets transformed into Chiyuv Mamon. Is at that point, it's no longer Gneva, it's a Chiyuv Mamon. And Michael, I should be stopping here to answer your question, but I just want to hop right one more line. But if, patiently, thank you, I appreciate it. But if Bezdin said Chayavat Olitein Lo, or that's the earliest stage, it's no longer Afkos Gneva, meaning it's still in the state of Gneva because the final verdict has not been handed down. Bezdin is just sort of making a halfway. Preliminary assessment of the situation. Preliminary assessment is based on the testimony that we have. We are going very speedily, you know, hurtling towards the final finish line of Chayavata, finally Teinlo, but now it's Chayavata Liteinlo. Says Rava, V'tovach u'machar, now since it still has a shame Gneva to it, it's still in the status of Gneva, he's Chayav Litein, he's Chayav Tashlumei, Dalet Vehei, my timer, this is not called Paske Lemilse. Yes. In other words, he's still being judged as a ganov, and as long as he's still being judged as a ganov, we haven't transformed the chiv into that of a chiv mamon through a final psak bezdin, he will have to be chayav for dal vehe. So let's swing back to our brisa now. Again, what was our challenge? We were looking for a case where, despite the fact that the ganov slaughtered it, and in the case of Toin Tanis Ganav Pikon and Koin to Rabbi Yochanan, he would be Chayav Dalet Vehei. Here, nevertheless, he does not pay Dalet Vehei. And the answer is because Bezdin had already issued their final verdict, the Gemar Psak Bezdin, Paske Lemilse, and they said, say, Vitein Lo. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking on a practical level, here's the Ganav standing in front of Bezdin, and they've said, you're Chayav. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't the next sentence that the Beis Din are going to say to them, and therefore to say the Teinlo, Where's the gun? They let him out of the court to go and...
Well, there's still a possibility of what's called hazama, or if not hazama, hakasha, meaning... Before Bezdin says Tzei V'Tenlo, then Bezdin are sort of sending out a call. They're saying, you know, if there's any other evidence, you know, that you could possibly subpoena other Edim to support your claim that, and your Shvua, that you didn't steal it.
Why didn't they say that before Chayev? I mean, I don't understand.
That's the phrase. In other words, the way that Bezdin operates is, what they say is Chayev Atolitinlo.
Right.
What does that mean? That if things are unchanged, you're going to be Chayev. And then they say Save a Table.
How long do they wait? I mean, I don't understand.
I don't remember. I think maybe a week or a month. I don't remember.
It's like the English courts. They sentence. They feel guilty and they come back 2 weeks later.
Yeah, not only that, what they have to do is, in many cases, they have to assess the value of the Gneva. In certain cases, but this is less relevant to Gneva, they evaluate Karka in order to make sure that if he doesn't have the money to pay, they'll take away a piece of Karka. There's a long process until the final Gemara din of Paske Lemils. Amri, the Gemara answers, you know what? I don't have an answer to your question. That's really what Amri means here in this case. But rather, what I'm going to show you is that I have another fulfillment of that slim category that we mentioned before, where there's a chiddush in the Braisa that despite the fact that the ganav shechted the animal, he still does not incur dalet vehei. Now, usually we apply the principle of two wrongs don't make a right. You know, if I have a double kasha, that only makes my kasha stronger. But sometimes what the Gemara means to say is that if I can show you over and over again that you're right, you know, we can stand on our heads and come up with brilliant, brilliant chidushim in the Braisa, and yet the Braisa left out all of them, then it must be that the Braisa just at this point was not interested in telling me the halacha of Dal Vehei, but simply the halacha of Kefel, that there's a din called Toi Tainis Ganav Pikadon, yes, and that's the subject of this Braisa. The Braisa is not addressing the case of Dalet Vehei, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan said it must have been a case where the ganav ate it nevela. Do you follow? In other words, it's a funny, there's a sort of a counterintuitive methodology here that the Gemara is approaching, the Gemara is presenting here, that sometimes by adding another kasha to a first kasha, it answers even the first kasha. You follow that? That's what I call counterintuitive. If you're telling me that this Braisa was definitely, you know, committed to this endeavor of finding a chiddush, that even though the God of shechted it, nevertheless he is potter from Dalet Vehei, Lishni Le, why not present the following case in the Braisa? B'shutov shetovach shalomidas chavero. We have halacha that as far as Dalet Vehei is concerned, if the animal was stolen by two people in a partnership agreement, in other words, they both stole it together in cahoots, then one of them can serve as the agent, as the shliach representing the other one to shech the animal, and in such a case they're both chayav dalet vehei. I'll get back to that in just a minute. But what happens if one shutaf, one of the two partners, decides that he's going to shech the animal, shalomidas chavero? In other words, he's not going to gain the appointment, the approval of his partner, of his friend. And now in this case, since they're not operating as partnership, there's only one person who could be chayav dalet vehei. But the only thing is, he can't be chayav dalet vehei. And why is that? Because he's only chayav half of Dalet Vehei. And the reason for that is because since the Gneva itself was implemented by two, by a partnership, then the Chiyuv for Shechita, for Dalet Vehei, would also have to be implemented by partnership. So if they were working in cahoots, let's say one of them was an expert in Shechita, the other was not, so the other one said to him, you go shech the cow, you know, let's have a good, you know, naf-naf tonight. And in such a case, they would both be chayv together dalet vehei, which means that each shutaf would pay half of that dalet vehei. We pool the money together, and the payment would be a totality of dalet vehei. But if one of them shechted the animal on his own initiative, without achieving the approval of the other partner, then in such a case, The Gemara in Masechta Bava Kamma, much earlier on Daf Ayin Beis, has a drasha that says Chamisha Bakar. In the Parsha Dalvei it says five. So the Gemara says Chamisha Bakar Omer Achmona Velo Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, which means that what has to be transferred, what has to be paid to the owner of the stolen cow is a totality of five, but not two, but not half of five. So if the two shutfim as one, and again this has to do with a concept called harkava mizgit, which means that we view the partnership as one entity, indivisible. So that partnership becomes chayav in chamisha bakar. Again, befall, what happens in actuality is that each partner is going to have to shell out 2.5. But the chiyuv is on both of them together as one indivisible entity to pay 5. Masha ein kein, if one of the two shutfim shechted on his own initiative without the approval of the other shutaf, in such a case the whole chiyuv is only 2.5. And the Torah says chamisha 5 and not 5 halves, which is 2.5.
Well, why don't we say that the partnership is the partnership and you're in partnership with somebody and he does something, you're equally liable. So therefore you should pay 5 even if one of you doesn't agree with it.
Well, no, it could be, Michael, in terms of ethical liability, you might be right, but the chiv is for the maisa shchita. And if I don't appoint you as my shliach, and you go ahead and do it on your own, it could be that I could be held, responsible in some broader sense because, I'm not a tzaddik over here and I should have prevented you or something like that, but I never appointed you, then the Maisa Shechita only relates to Reuven and not to his partner Shimon. In any event, what we see here is that we have two successful presentations of a Chiddush in the Braisa, that even though the Ganav, in this case the Toing Tadis Ganav because shechted the animal, nevertheless he's parted from Dalvehe, either because it was, say, Vitenlo, and it was Paske Lemilse, or because it was one of two Shutfim who shechted the animal without the approval of the second Shutah. Ella, therefore, since we see that there were so many possibilities in which the Braisa could have been Mechadish, Dine Shechita, and Dalvehe, in the case of a Ganav who shechted it, and the Braisa chose to avoid these, says Rabbi Yochanan, Chada Mitreu Tlos HaNokat. That really the Braisa is interested in only one scenario out of these many, many different scenarios, one out of two, one out of three, and you could probably go on and on. And the Braisa is talking about a case where the Toin Tainis Ganav Bikonon ate the animal as an avela. He never even bothered shechting it. Again, I have to tell you, Rabosai, it's a little bit of a disappointment for me personally, a little bit what I call anticlimactic. Because what it comes out is that this Braisa didn't go down the avenue of Chidush, and there were two avenues of Chidush that would have been appropriate, would have been possible, and instead the Braisa chose to talk about a case where there is no Chidush. And I find myself identifying much more with the Kasha than with the Teretz. The methodology of the Kasha is much more appealing to me personally than the Teretz. But at the end of the day, since Rabbi Yochanan insists that the Ganav would be paying Dalet Vehei, even though he's only a Toin Tainis Ganav Pikadon, then, Rabbi Yochanan is in deep trouble if the Braisa says the exact opposite. And namely, there is no Chiyuv Dalet Vehei for the Shochet. So the easy way out for Rabbi Yochanan is to say that this Braisa is talking about a case in the Vela and there was no Shechita, even though the Braisa was giving up on some very rich halachic territory here. Okay. Now, we're not finished with Rabbi Yochanan about Toin Tainis Ganav Bikonon. And at this point, Rabbi Yochanan is going to expand the scope in a very fundamental way of a shomer who denies payment and takes a shvua to that effect, and then Adam testify that he's chayev, and he becomes a Ganav who's chayev kefir. HaToin Tainis Ganav Ba'aveda Mishalim Tashlume Kefel. Here's a case where the Mafkid never appointed the Shomer to begin with. How did the Shomer become a Shomer? He simply found a lost item. Now, what happened was that so-and-so, call him Reuven, has located the finder, Shimon. Shimon found his cow. And now Reuven sues Shimon to return that cow. You found my cow. Shimon takes a shvua that he never found the cow. Aiden testified that he does have the cow. Says Rabbi Yochanan, even though, despite the fact that he never was appointed as a shomer to begin with, he became a shomer by virtue of the fact that he picked up a lost object, is Meshalem Tashlume Kefel. Says Rabbi Yochanan, he too is included in this parsha.
Why should it not be?
Because there was, well, we're going to soon see, the Gemara says that the whole chiv of Kefel is based on the Hafkada, which in the Gemara's language is called the Nesina. Nesina means, like for example, again, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but we're going to soon see that if, let's say, a child gives his cow over to a shomer, and the shomer later on denies that he took the cow and he took a shvua and the whole 9 yards with the edim and so forth and so on, he does not pay kefel. Why? Because there was no nesina to begin with. Why a katan is not capable of nesina. And we're going to see in this parasha of Toin Tanis Ganam Pikadon that he becomes chayv and kefel by virtue of the nesina. The nesina becomes a prerequisite in this chiyuv of kefel. Here in the case of a shomer aveda, there was never a nesina to begin with. And the Gemara is going to work very hard over here on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph to try to understand why is it that the, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a katan, if he gave over his cow to a pikadon, would not be able to be machayev the guy in kefil, whereas the shomer aveda is chayev in kefil. Maybe you want to begin to think of some answer, but I tried to fake out the Gemara and come up with an answer, but I did not succeed. But maybe you'll be successful. My time. So therefore, the Gemara needs some sort of source or proof text to Rabbi Yochanan's radical conclusion that a Shomer Aveda is Chayev as a Ganav for Kefa. Dichsiv. And he darshins in the Parsha of Toin Tainas Ganav, Al Kol Aveda Asher Yomar, and I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, Ki Uzeh, we're talking about an Aveda. In the very same pasuk of Kefel, where it says Shalom Yishalom Shnayim, the Torah is talking about Al Kol Aveda. And that extra, well, I shouldn't say extra, but that juxtaposition or interpositioning of the Parsha of Aveda with Toin Tanis Ganav tells me that even a Shomer Aveda is considered a Toin Tanis Ganav. Now, Rabosai, I just want to point out to you that this Gemara seems to be based on Shitas Rabba, not on Shitas Rav Yosef, because the Gemara records in Perek HaKones that according to Rabba, a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chinam, because it's not being paid, and therefore he's part of Gneva, whereas according to Rav Yosef, the Torah itself is paying him, he's getting rewarded for his mitzvah, and therefore he's a Shomer Sachar, who's Chaya for Gneva. So the big to-do here amongst all the in the literature here is how could Rav Yochanan speak about a Shomer Aveda being Chayev Kefel because he was what? Let's say he was towing Tainas Ganav and therefore he becomes Chayev. And therefore he's Potter and then he's Chayev when the Edom testify that he himself stole it. That makes sense according to Rabbah but not according to Rav Yosef because according to Rav Yosef a Shomer Aveda has the status of a Shomer Sachar, in which case the Tainas Gneva would not be a Taina Poteris. And it's the whole Yisod of Gneva here is the Taina Poteris. If you're following me. That's going to lead us to a sugya called Lista Mizuyon. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But there are apparently cases where even though the Shomer Sachar is Potur, but he's still putting forth a Tainas Ganav. That's called Lista Mizuyon. Rabbi Abba bar Mamal or Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Because again, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan was said was transmitted by Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya bar Mamal decides to attack. Rabbi Abba bar Mamal tries to attack Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Okay. And now we have a Braisa. The Braisa says the following. With regard to Toein Tainas Ganav B'Pikadon, it says, Ki Yitein Ish. There's got to be a Nesina. Right? She'ein Nesinas Katon Klum. So if let's say little, small Larry gives a Pikadon to big Ralph, then Ralph is not going to be Chayev as a Ganav if he's makish the his kofer, the taina, and he takes the shvuah and so forth and so on, because there was never what? Ki yitain ish. There's got to be ki yitain ish. The aimly Ella, I might think, okay, wait a minute, that makes sense if at the time that the pikadon was given by little Larry, Larry was little. Elim nostok shukatan vitavo shukatan, and Larry now, this little boy, is schlepping, you know, big Ralph, the big shomer into Beis Din and saying, well, where's my cow? In such a case, both the nesina and what's called the tvia were both bekatan. The son of Shukatan utavok shugadol minayim. But what about the following scenario? Let's say the nesina took place while the mafkid was a katan, this little Larry, but now when he comes to be tovea big Ralph in Beis Din, he himself has become big Larry. Minayin, how do we know that the nesina as a katan is an automatic guaranteed hafka that removes the chiyuv of kefel? Talmud lomar ad Elohim yavo dvar shnehem. What is going to be here is a hekesh between the beginning of this pasuk, which is ki yitain, and the end of the pasuk of yavo dvar shnehem, which is talking about the tvia in Beis Din. And this creates what we call a hekesh between the nesina and the tvia. Ad shetehe nesina utvia shavin kiech. It means we need a gadol both for nesina and tvia. Now again, it's impossible to have a gadol b'shas tvia who was right. The other way around. It's impossible to have a gadol b'shas nesina who's a katan b'shas tvia. That just don't work. But you can have a case where he's a katan b'shas nesina and a gadol b'shas tvia. The answer is no. There's no chiyuv kefel because the Torah says nesino tvia shavim kiechad.
Is it possible that it was stolen from a gadol and then he died and the yorish is a cotton? And then if the tvia is with the cotton, then
that's not bad.
That could be
very good.
When the apotropis come and claim on behalf of the cotton,
if it is.
I don't know. I think the apotropos would still have a din of a tvias katan as far as this is concerned. In any event, the Gemara is now we're getting to the cash on Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the punchline of this whole sugya? V'im isa, according to your logic, Rabbi Yochanan, that a shomer aveda is chayav kefel tehevi nami ke aveda. There's no nesin over here. Just like in the case of aveda, just like in the case of a pikadon of a katan, we say there's no chiyuv kefil because we're lacking in a nesina of a gadol. Here, there's no nesina at all. It's almost a kal v'chomer. So here's where I tried to rack my brains and come up with an answer. I'll tell you what I came up with, but I don't think it'll hold water. What I was able to come up with is the following, that in the case of a katan, we know exactly who the mafkid is. And that mafkid is a katan. In the case of an aveda, there is a mafkid, but we just don't know who he is. So the mafkid himself, if we could only know who he is, if we could identify him, then that would be a gavra who's royal in Nesina, meaning halachically, although he didn't implement the Nesina, but at least he's a person who's capable of Nesina. I don't need a Nesina befall, but I need at least a person who's capable of Nesina. The reason why the Bryce excludes Katan is because a Katan at this stage is not capable of Nesina. But in any event, the Gemara doesn't give that answer. The Gemara says the following. Omar Le, Reb Chiya gave the following response to Rabbi Abba. Hachu b'mayaskinon kegon she'acholo kishehu katan. He says the following. That in the case of Aveda, there is a possibility of a tvia, from a gadol. And why is that? Because at the time that the Shomer Aveda, in Rabbi Yochanan's framework, consumed the animal, he, the Shomer Aveda, was a Gadol. Just give me a second, 1 second. Just 1 second. Let me go back to Katan and then I'll get to... So again, why is it in the case of Katan that there's no Chiyuv Kefel? Because Acholo Kishahu Katan. In other words, the Shomer should be Chayov not only for his Shavuah, but now Rabbi Chi is introducing another variable into the equation, and that is the Achila. The Achila means that the Shomer went ahead and he consumed the cow, and if he consumed the cow that was owned by a katan, then there's no possibility of suing him at this point anyway. There's no possibility of suing him for that act of consuming the cow. If you take a look at Rashi, Dima Maskil Sha'ochlo, it's about three lines above the bottom of the page, he says, Sha'ochlo Balabayis Lepikadon, Balabayis here means the Shomer, Biocha Mafkid Katon, Shalo Yorad Pikadon Ze Litoras Taina Meolon. You see, Rashi's working overtime here. Not clear exactly what he's saying, but let's see the second half of the Rashi. Might shed a light on the first half, Rashi. Aval Aveda Michimote Liyode Dahai. As soon as the Shomer who finds the Aveda becomes a Shomer, Ichayevle, he becomes Chayev to guard this animal and make sure it gets back to its rightful owner. Shrei Yeshla Bailim Bnei Ta'anosa. I don't know why Rashi used the word Ta'anosa. I would have used the word Tvia, but it's the same. I think it's synonymous. In other words, Rashi's saying that at some crucial point, and we'll mention three critical points, there has to be what's called a Bart Taina, someone who can come to the Ganav and say, hey, you come to Bezdin and say in front of Bezdin, you are my Ganav, you stole it from me, you owe it to me. Now, in the classical case, that moment of a Bar Taina would be at the moment in the Sina. The Gemara is suggesting that if you don't have a Bar Taina at the moment of the Sina, then maybe you could have a Bar Taina at the moment of Achila, because Achila is itself a brand new Machayev. In this case, the Braisa is addressing a Katan who remained a Katan even as late as the Achila. So there never was a moment in time where we had a chiyuv and a bar taina against that chiyuv. Someone to claim in Bezdin with a rightful, a legally binding claim that you have to pay for that chiyuv. Masha Enkin, in the case of Shomer Aveda, although it's true that at the time of the Nesina there was no possibility of a tviya, and Rashi says, "Avla veda mechimot oliyode." As soon as he picked it up, the high, the finder, right, is ichayev le. Ichayev le. Messina. Just 1 second. Ichayev le. Shari yeshlo bailam bnei tanos. I understand correctly, Rav Chi is backing down from the original harsh position that you need a Nesina and a Tviya Shavin Ki Echad. Here there's no Nesina at all, but nevertheless there's a Chiyuv. We need a Chiyuv with a Bar Taina. And the very moment that the Shomer Aveda picks up the object, in this case the cow, and he takes it into his Rishus, it becomes a Chiyuv. either you could say he accepted upon himself this chiyuv, or the Torah imposed upon himself upon him a chiyuv, a monetary chiyuv, in addition to the mitzvah, obviously, to return this cow. And at this point in life, even though there was no nesina, but there were bailim b'nei ta'anosa. That's what Rashi says over here. Let's just go on and try to get to the finish line. We don't have that much time, and see l'mafreya, maybe it'll shed a light on this distinction. So the Gemara says the following, that when is the shomer potur because the mafkid was a katan? That's only because it was consumed and the mafkid is still a katan. Says the Gemara, aval kishu hu gadol. What happens if the katan who owns this cow became a gadol? Is my, you're telling me Rabbi Chiya, that hachinami de mishalim, that in such a case there would be a chiyuv kefel? In other words, at the time of the achilas hapikadon, the mafkid was already a gadol, the bailim were already a gadol. You see, hachi, this is going to be one of those liflog velisni, but he does. Aditana, why did the Bryce have to say? Adshetehe nesina utvia shavin ki echad, as if to say that there is no possibility of a chiv kefal unless you have both the nesina and the tvia as godless. Now you're telling me there's a third variable here, and that's the achilas hapikonon, listening, achite achila utvia shavin ki echad. That the achila has to be the achila of a, meaning when the mafkid is a gadol. Now this is very strange, says Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Chiya. How can you tell me the Braisa is assuming that in the case of a katan, despite the absence of a nesina, there still would be a chiyuv kefil if only it became a gadol at the time of the achila? The Braisa says just the opposite. The Braisa says we need nesino tvia kefil. The way you're saying it, Rabbi Abba, it should come out that when the... Sorry, Rabbi Chiya, I meant to say. It should come out that the Braisa should have pointed out that even if there was no nesina and tvia ke'echol, nevertheless there was an achila k'shu gadol, and that itself should incur a chiyuv kefel. Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya now tries to defend himself against this onslaught of Rabbi Chiya. Of Rabbi Abba. And he says, Amar le tni ad shete achila utvia shavin ki echad. So obviously that's a real push. You know, he has to rewrite the script of the Braisa. It's not the most rare thing in the world, because Braisas always have a certain risk element of mistake. So it means that the pikadon is still alive and well at the time that the mafkid is still a katan. But if he became a gadol a moment before the achila, then that itself is enough to be mechayev the shomer kefir. But Ravashi, I think, has a more fundamental answer. Ravashi says, I can circumvent all this rewriting the text of the Braisa. Lo domi aveda ka'asya mikach ben das. But ha lo asya mikach ben das. Says Rav Ashi, there's a fundamental difference between aveda of a shomer aveda, I mean, I'm talking about a shomer aveda, and a katan hamafkid. Why is that? Because in the case of a shomer aveda, ka'asya mikach ben das, I think this could be my svar from before, meaning that there is a bar tvia who owns the object that was lost. Again, we don't know who he is, we haven't identified him yet. But that's not like the case of a katan. where in the case of a katan there could not be any bar hachi of tvir. So let's see if we can read this into the language of the Gemara. Lo dami aveda ka asya mikoch ben das. So even though you found an aveda, there never was a nesina biyadayim. Nevertheless, even though there wasn't an actual nesina, but the Torah says that that person who's out there, and once we identify him, he's demanding that you take a shvua that you don't, that you're not holding on to it. And if you don't, and if you take that shvua and it's a false shvua, you pay kefil for that.
So who is that person?
We don't know yet who it is, but he's going to come into Beis Din, right? And he's going to say, you're holding on to my cap. Well, no, there are two cases. So Rav Ashi is saying the following. One case of aveda is called ka'asi mikoch ben das. Why is the aveda case ka'asi mikoch ben das? Because there is someone who has a tviya against you from the very second that you took his cow into your possession when you found it. We don't know yet who he is, but he is definitely a tovea. As soon as he comes into Beis Din and he puts forward his tviya, that's enough to create a tviya of a ben das. And Rav Ashi holds that a tviya of a ben das is enough to engender a chiv kefal. Masha'en came in the case where the katan was the one who gave the pikadon over to the shomer. In such a case, it was never asya mikoach ben das. There was never a chiyuv that came from a ben das. We need a hafkadas chiyuv of a ben das. And in the case of katan, we don't have that. In the case of an aveda, even though there was never a hafkada biyadayim, but nevertheless, since the Torah says that you owe him the returning of the object within the framework of a shomer pikadon situation, therefore it's as if he gave you the object. It has the same status as him giving you the object. It's all mikoach ben das. Okay, let's see if we can at least give an introduction to the next sugya, which is also again Rav Yochanan. Omar Abchia. Now, keep in mind, Rav Osai, that Rav Yochanan initially had expanded the scope of kefel in Toin Tainis Ganov by including a chiyuv dal vehe for shechita mechira. Then he expanded the case, the scope of kefil by including even a shomer aveda. Now there's going to be a reversal. Now Rabbi Yochanan is going to limit and circumscribe the chiyuv of kefil, and he says the following: Atoin tanis ganav bepikadon eino chayov. He only pays kefil if what? In other words, the mafkid is saying you took two cows of mine, and the shomer is responding, I took one cow and not the second. So he's a boda b'miktzas on one cow, he's a kofar kol on the other cow, and in such a case on the second cow, if the eidim testify that he's holding on to it, he has to pay kefel, he's chayav kefel. But if there was only one cow to begin with, and the shomer denies that he ever got that cow, so there was no hodah b'miktzas, then there's no parsha of kefel. Now, why would anyone think in a million years that you need this prerequisite of hodah b'miktzas in order to engender a chiv kefel? After all, two eidim are testifying that he stole the cow. Who cares whether or not he was moda b'miktzas? So the answer, I think, here lies in the shvuah element. Remember, we said over and over again that a toin tanis ganav pikadon is only going to be chayv kefil because he took a false shvuah. Here in this case, Rav Yochanan is asking, well, what shvuah does he have to take? We have a principle called kofra kol. If I deny it, I don't have to take a shvuah. If on the other hand I admit part of the claim, deny the other half, then I have to take a shvur. So what Rabbi Yochanan is doing now is he's taking two parashios and he's combining them. He's taking the parasha of Toin Tanis Gadav Pikon Peis Kefel. He's taking the parasha of a Chiv Shvur, and he's asking, well, if the Toin Tanis Gadav Pikon is Chayav by virtue of the false oath he took, who and why did we impose that oath on him to begin with? If he denied that he ever got the cow, he doesn't have to take an oath. He only has to take an oath because he admitted, he confessed to half of the sum of money that's being demanded of him. My timer. So the Gemara says that even this logic of Rabbi Yochanan is to be derived from a pasuk. You see, at this point the Gemara doesn't know why does Rabbi Yochanan insist that you're only chayev a shvua if you're modeh b'miksas in the case of a shomer. Maybe every time I demand that you return the object, even if you deny that you ever got the object, you have to take a shvua. So that's an introduction to Mirza Shem Yom Chamishi. Yom Chamishi. David, I'm going to borrow this for 6 seconds, alright? I'll just make a note where we got up to, so sometimes I... Thank you.